We are in John chapter 14. And, you know, there's a lot of troubled hearts these days. We looked at that last week as Jeff shared the word, and it continues this morning text. And so let me read verses 15 through 31. Jesus says this, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, and you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the words that you hear, and the words that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." So here we see in verse 27, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." You know, this is the second time that Jesus has shared those words in this chapter. We see them first in John chapter 14, verse 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." What's going on here? The disciples are with Jesus in the upper room. He's about to be betrayed, be turned over to the Jewish and Roman authorities. And he's going to be crucified this next day. And he's been telling his disciples that he's going to go away. These things are going to happen. And their hearts are troubled. And so Jesus is wanting to just remind them that, guys, it's all under control. Do not be afraid. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You can trust in God. You can trust in me. And so he's wanting to reassure them as they are fearful, as they're confused, as troubled. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe your heart is troubled. And so this morning, I want to talk about how we can keep our hearts from being troubled. Because what Jesus was conveying to his disciples, he's conveying to us this morning, church. He doesn't want us to be afraid. He doesn't want our hearts to be troubled. And so from this text, in Jesus' words, how can we keep our hearts calm and not get overwhelmed with our circumstances? Four things I want to share with you this morning. The first is this. You need to know that God is sovereign over all details. Every detail, every circumstance in our life, in your life, it has not caught him by surprise. He has a plan and he has a purpose in all of it. And this is what he's conveying to his disciples. Guys, this is going to happen. I'm going to go and I'm going to go to be with my father. You need to rejoice with me about this. I'll come back to you for a short period of time, but I'm going to go long term and be with my father. And Jesus is sharing this because verse 29, he says, "And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you will believe." He's preparing their hearts. He's spelling out the details. It would be nice if God gave us the details of what was going to happen in the future of our lives. Maybe. I think if we really knew those details, it would freak us out. It would rob us of the strength and the energy that we need for that day in depending on him. But for the disciples here, Jesus is saying, this is going to happen. And when these things do happen, it's going to help you to know that I really am who I say I am. Now, this isn't the first time. We just looked at this 2 weeks ago, didn't we? When we were looking at Judas, and he was about to betray Jesus, and he was with his disciples. He had just washed their feet in John chapter 13. And then in verses 18, starting in verse 18, he says, "Now, I am not speaking of all of you," in chapter 13, "I'm not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread and lifted his heel against me, he who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me." This is prophetic concerning Judas. And in verse 19 it says, "And I am telling you this now, before it takes place, that when it does take place, that you may believe that I am he." And so, Jesus wants his disciples to know that he is God. He knows the future. And everything that Judas is going to do, as shameful and as disgraceful and as unimaginable as it could be, that he is going to betray God himself, Jesus wants the disciples to know that God is behind it all. God is sovereign over every single detail, including Judas's hard heart. That what Judas is doing is fulfilling prophecy in Psalm chapter 41, verse 9. And as ugly as that event was, it was, and the crucifixion of Christ, it was the darkest event in all of history from the world's perspective. They killed God. But from God's perspective, from God's side of eternity, it was the greatest moment for you and I and in all of history. That the God of the universe came, humbled himself, became a man, lived sinless life, didn't deserve to die, but willingly humbled himself, put himself on a cross, and died in your place and in my place for our sin, our redemption, our forgiveness. It was God's finest moment. So, you know, when Jesus told Judas in John chapter 13, after he gave him the morsel of bread, the Bible says in verse 30 that Judas immediately went out, and it was night. Verse 30, it was night. It was not just night physically, but it was night spiritually in the heart of Judas. Judas's heart was dark. And the events were about to unfold. But Jesus says this in verse 31. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." God's glory, Jesus' glory, is going to be magnified through these terrible events and the cross and the resurrection. So as dark and as difficult and overwhelming as that night is, God is absolutely in control. And so, my friends, if you want to have a calm heart in difficult circumstances, you got to know, first of all, that God is sovereign. That what you're going through, what I'm going through at the moment, God knew before eternity began, before time began. This hasn't caught God by surprise. God has a plan through all of this. And as believers in Christ, he wants us to trust his heart. Even though we can't see his hand, what he's doing, he wants us to trust his heart. He is sovereign. God knows your circumstances. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 is definitely in play. God is working all things for his glory and our good. And so he was telling the disciples in John chapter 14, guys, these things are going to happen. And I'm telling you these things in advance so that when they do happen, you will believe me. Said in chapter 13, we see it in chapter 14, elsewhere in Scripture, guys, God is sovereign. So know this. Second, we see in how we can keep our heart from being troubled through this passage of Scripture is verse 18 of chapter 14. It says this, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." He's not going to leave the disciples as orphans. In church, he's not going to leave us as orphans. Now, who's the us? The us is the disciples in this text, but the us is also who we see in verse 15. Okay? This promise that Jesus isn't going to leave us as orphans isn't for everybody. Verse 15 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." He says it again in verse 21. "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Verse 23, Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, He will keep my word, and my Father will love him. Who does he not leave orphans? Those who love him and keep his commands. My friend, you love him and you keep his commands. Know that you are not alone. He knows exactly what you're going through. And the Bible says, I am coming to you. And who's he going to send? Who's he going to bring in coming to us? Verse 16 and 17. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Who's he going to send? Keeping you from being an orphan? He's going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to send, the Bible says, another helper. Now, that word, another, there's two Greek words for the word another. One is another of a different kind. But then there's another Greek word that's alos. And alos means of the exact same kind. And that's the another that's used in this verse in verse 16. Jesus is going to send the exact same kind of himself to his disciples. That's the kind of helper that the Holy Spirit is going to be. What was Jesus to the disciples? He was an encourager. I mean, he was a prophet. He was a person who met all of their needs. Jesus was everything that the disciples needed. And now Jesus was physically going to leave them. But he's not going to abandon them. He's going to send another helper, just like himself, to come and be with them. And notice how long that the helper is going to be with them. Forever. I'm going to send you another helper to be with you forever. He's never going to leave you. You're not going to be an orphan. He is sending the helper to be with you forever. And that is good news, church. He's with you right now. He's with me right now. He is what I need for him to be. Now, again, this is only for those who love him and keep his commandments. The world, the Bible says in verse 17, the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit, this helper. It's only reserved for those who love God and keep his commandments. But not only do we receive the Holy Spirit, but we receive the Father and the Son as well. Look at verses 20 through 23 again. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas Iscariot said, or not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. My friend, he's not going to leave you, abandon you as an orphan. He's going to send the helper But not only is the Helper and the Holy Spirit coming, but the Father and the Son is coming as well. You know what? You get the Trinity. You get, as believers in Christ, we commune with the Trinity. Okay? So just grasp this. When life is falling apart, when things are caving in and we don't understand, and our hearts are going pitter-pat, and we're anxious and we're stressed out, Jesus wants us to know the truth. And the truth is, He's sovereign. And you are not alone. You have the Helper, and you have the Son, and you have the Father. I mean, you remember this container, don't you? I occasionally use these nesting blocks here. Here we have Christ. Here we have me or you. Here we have Christ. And here we have God the Father. Okay? What is Jesus saying in this text to His disciples? Listen. I'm in you. You are in me. And we are in the Father. You know what? When it comes to God, He doesn't know anything about social distancing. No, He is with you. You are in community with the Trinity. And so just remember this, church. When you're going through a tough time, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are with you, and you are in them. This is our help. This is who is going to get us through the tough times that we face. Think of Patty Wade right now. What's going on in Patty's life? You know what? She's communing with the Trinity. And the Trinity is holding and sustaining her. Know this, church. This is what Jesus wanted His disciples to know. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm sovereign, and you're not going to be alone. We are going to be with you, and He is with us. But again, this promise isn't to everybody. There's a qualifier to those who love Him and keep His commandments. So, what's the third thing that Jesus wants us to know to keep us from having a troubled heart? Well, not only do we have the Helper who is going to be with us forever, but He is the Spirit of truth in verse 17. We have the truth. Who's the truth? Well, we learned this last week as Jeff shared in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is the truth, and the Holy Spirit is the truth. Guys, we have the truth. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is something that we should never be ashamed of. And whatever Jesus says He's going to do, He's going to do. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the truth. He is our anchor, and the anchor is going to hold. Jesus isn't going anywhere, and you and I can trust Him. That truth is there to protect us. Jesus wants us to believe His Word. He wants us to believe His promises. He wants us to live by His promises. We love Him by keeping His commands. John says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, His commands are not burdensome. In fact, they are freeing. You know, when God gives us His Word and gives us His commands, it's like He builds a fence around our lives. This was shared at the Lighthouse Thursday night after I concluded my message. But it's like His Word builds a fence of protection around our lives. And as long as we stay within that fence, I mean, there is freedom. There is joy. There's peace. There's blessing that accompanies an individual who lives according to His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. They are freeing. And guys, we need His truth. You know, Jesus says that He's going to send us out as sheep among wolves. It's a scary world out there. And we are sheep among wolves. What do wolves want to do? Eat sheep. Yeah. And as sheep, you know what? We're defenseless. We can't protect ourselves. We need a shepherd. And God has given us His Word that will be our protection, that will be the resources that we need in a world that's full of wolves. Church, we got the truth. And the truth will set us free. And the truth will bring peace to our hearts as long as we live in His Word. You know, when we're going through troubled times, there's nothing like the Word of God that can calm your heart. And if you will just allow yourself to be in communion with the Holy Spirit, with the Trinity, and in His Word, we have the Spirit of truth, the Bible says. He is our teacher, and He will encourage us and remind us of who Jesus really is in our life, regardless of our circumstances. We have the truth, and we don't have to be ashamed of it. And the world hates us for it. And Jesus said, if they hate me, they are going to hate you because they don't like to hear truth. But church, we've got to stand truth. We live in a world today where truth has been discarded. And everybody has their own truth. There is only one truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And He wants us to stand for this truth. We are ambassadors of heaven. We have the Word of heaven. And so we can't be ashamed or afraid to speak the truth. You know, I think of Pastor James Coates right now. Maybe you've heard of Pastor James. He's in Alberta, Canada. And his church has been meeting for the most part through this whole pandemic. In the beginning, they paused for a period because they, you know, didn't know what was going on. And so they abided by health authorities. But it got to the point where they realized that they were neglecting what God had told them to do as a church, which was to meet, to not neglect the assembling of ourselves together. And so Pastor James and his church, the elders, said, you know what, we can't neglect this. This is an important way that we love our neighbor, that we love one another by coming together as God's people and worshiping Him and glorifying Him. And so they were getting pressure from health authorities and got to the point where if you don't shut down, authorities were saying that we're going to come and arrest you. And I want to encourage you to go and listen to Pastor Coates' message February 14. If you just Google James Coates, you'll find his sermon, an excellent sermon on the church's role of speaking truth, standing for truth with the government. The way we love our government and respect and submit to our government is by standing for truth, doing what Jesus has told us to do. And if the government oversteps their bounds and dictates things as that the church is to do, that the going against the word of God, you know what? As a congregation, as God's people, we need to stand for truth. And if the consequences are that we go to jail, well, we humbly, respectfully submit ourselves to those authority and suffer the consequences. And that's what Pastor James is doing now. He's been in jail for almost 2 weeks now, and he doesn't have a court date till the first part of May. And the congregation was hoping that he was going to be released this last Friday. He was not released. He's most likely going to be in jail until his hearing comes up in May. We need to pray for Pastor Coates and his wife and that church. They are standing for the truth. And the sad part of it is that there's a lot of Christians today, a lot of pastors today across the country, who says, that's not religious persecution. He's just, you know, disobeying government authorities, and he's getting what he deserves. No, Pat Coates is standing for the gospel. He's standing for the word of God. This is the conviction of his heart. He is being obedient to what God's word says. And as a result, he is suffering religious persecution. Church, this isn't a one and done thing. This is going to become more and more of a reality for pastors and Christians and churches as they stand for the Word of God. You've heard about the Equality Act that's just been passed by the House of Representatives this week and is now going to the Senate. If this becomes law, all hell's going to break loose. And we have no other alternative, church, than to stand on what the Word of God says and be true to His Word. And I read Matthew chapter 10 2 weeks ago. I want to bring you back to that. Hebrew or Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. Because there's going to be a day when God's people are going to be hauled before the magistrate. And Jesus says, and I'm going to be with you. This is what he says in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 10. He says, when they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. You say, as you stand for truth, you're not going to be alone. you have the Spirit of truth, and I am going to give you the words that you need in that moment. Church, that day is coming. And for some pastors, it is already here. And we have a responsibility to proclaim what God has said in love. That's the way we love our neighbor. That's the way we love one another, by standing for the truth. So, how do you keep your heart from being troubled? Know that God's sovereign. Now, two, know that you're not alone. You've got the Trinity, and the Trinity's got you. Number three, you've got the truth. And then number four, allow Jesus to be your peace. Look what he says in verse 27. 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Jesus is peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And he wants to be your peace. Not as the world gives. The world's peace is pretty messed up. The world's peace is found through alcohol and drugs and immoral living, just trying to escape from life or whatever. But that's just temporary. It's just momentary. And it really leads to bondage. But Jesus' peace is not like what the world has to offer. And it's Jesus himself. Jesus wants to be your peace. That doesn't mean that there won't be storms. There are going to be storms. There are going to be plenty of storms. It's not the absence of storms, but it is the presence of God. And that peace surpasses all comprehension. The disciples are about to enter the storm of their lives as they watch their Lord and Savior be crucified for their sin. But Jesus wants them to know that God is sovereign over all of it. And just as God is sovereign and rules over the world, God wants to rule, God's peace wants to rule over your heart. He's here for you, friend. And again, the promise is only for those who love him and keep his commands. But know this, his commands are not burdensome. They are freeing. They will protect you and they will bless you. So if you have a troubled heart this morning, God knows. God's here. You've got truth. And he wants to give you his peace. Let's pray. Father, you know each person in this room, in the dining hall, or watching by Facebook. Lord, you know their circumstances. It's not an accident that, Lord, they were in on this message this morning. Father, I pray that it would begin with you, with them loving you and keeping your word, trusting you, Father, believing in what you did for them on the cross. And if you're here this morning, and if you've never made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ, my friend, that's where it begins. Jesus came to save you and to set you free. But in order for that to happen, you got to give up. You got to surrender and admit that you are a sinner and that you are in need of a Savior who can forgive you. And there's only one who can forgive you, and that's Jesus. Make that commitment to Him right now. And Christian, you love Jesus. You believe His word. You keep His commands, but you got a troubled heart. Heed Jesus' words this morning. He knows. He's here. Believe His word. Receive His peace. He will do that if you will believe. Thank you, Father, for your living word. I pray it would come alive in each and every person's heart here this morning. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you're here this morning, if you've made any decision for Christ, I haven't mentioned these connection cards, but we don't want you to keep this decision to yourself. You need to tell somebody. And I encourage you to fill the card and let us know the decision that you've made. We want to follow up on that decision and help you to love Him more and to keep His commands so that these promises can truly become a reality in your life, because they are true.